are listening to Look Who's Talking. I am Cameron Minter. I am your co-host and your host. Jessica Coffey is in the building. What's going on, Jessica?
Hey, Cam.
What is going on?
Not much, literally.
Have you had your lunch?
I had half my lunch.
Let me tell you about Jessica. Between taping,
I ate a couple of bites of my sandwich.
Jessica will faithfully bring her lunch and eat it for breakfast.
Okay. Because if I'm hungry at 9 o'clock, that's what time I'm eating my lunch.
It's over.
You know what? And I would eat anything at any time.
Wow.
You might see me eating some fried chicken and broccoli.
Wow.
At 8:30.
So,
because as long as you get some kind of nutrients.
Yeah. Now, Jessica, she goes up and down about her health and healthy eating. I mean, when she's on it, she is on it. But when she's not, you might catch her with some McDonald's and stuff. And it just amazes
me. I'm glad she didn't come to 710 yesterday because I bought McDonald's for everybody.
Wow. Just an enabler. Just a complete enabler.
Hey, if I'm going to go down, I want people to go down with me.
I love it.
If I'm going to gain these 2 pounds from these meals,
I love it.
Somebody else going to have to.
I mean, it makes sense.
Exactly.
It makes sense.
They didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah. Jessica, yeah, over the years, she used to meal prep. And
I did.
She, you know, be real serious in the gym.
Then I changed positions.
Yes.
And I don't know whether I'm going to come in.
Meal prep. That's the truth. That's out the door.
But you know what? So it's so hard, like, as a single person to cook a meal for a single person. That's,
you're right about it.
You know, so I was eating out all my meals because I'm like, hey.
Right. You're saving that food bill.
Yeah.
But
however, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, I looked at my bank account.
Yeah.
And I said, my God.
It'll get you real quick.
I spend my money on food.
That's it. And I hope, do you have one of those trackers that tells you, like,
oh,
I got a tracker for some reason. I don't even know
why. In your bank account?
Yeah, it tells me you spent 80% of your income on food.
Nope.
Shut up.
And you know what? I would like to know that, but I'm pretty sure I spend 99% of my income on food. Because, and it's not just like quick pickup. It is, let me sit down.
Oh, wow.
But I like food.
So you're the type, you can go to a restaurant all by yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. I
feel a little weird when I go out of town.
That means you were not single long enough.
Well, you know, I ain't been single for over almost 29 years.
When you were single, you were not single long enough if you hadn't mastered going out to eat by yourself.
Well, I guess so.
Listen, because I've mastered that.
Yeah.
Well, if I want some Jeff Rubies, I will go by myself.
Wow.
Table for one, please.
Wow. That's
one.
Crazy.
Thank you.
Yeah. I feel some kind of way when I'm out of town.
I think a lot of people do. Oh.
And like when I go on a business trip and I'm out of town, it's time for dinner.
By yourself.
And I'm like,
Listen, I go to dinner by myself. I go to the movies by myself. Like literally everywhere, I have literally mastered. If my friends ain't got no money, it don't matter.
Right.
Because I'm going to do it
anyway.
I'll
see y'all later.
Bye. And you know what? They know that about me too.
Uh-huh.
They know like, she going to go do whatever. Half the time, I don't even ask.
Wow.
I just be like, hey, y'all,
but
where
that
you been?
That cooking, like even when I had a roommate in college and then I went to a single apartment and there's no desire to cook.
No.
I mean, to really cook for yourself.
No. But until you look at your bank account.
Right.
So let's get back to that. I looked at my bank account and I said, you're foolish.
And what you gonna
do? You spend
about
all your. Oh, so I've been cooking.
Oh.
I brought my lunch today because I put something in place. So I said, restaurant week starts July 18th. So I'm going to cook and eat what I have in my kitchen until restaurant week.
Okay. What's restaurant week?
What?
Oh,
you don't know what restaurant week.
Well, I heard
you know
Burger
last
Week.
Week was
I heard
Burger
Soul
Week.
Food Week. Yeah.
Restaurant week is when
these expensive sit-down restaurants have
like the 3-course meals for $35. That's a deal.
Oh, it is.
It is. And it's like
all things food. I need to keep up with you.
So this always happens around my birthday. You know, around my birthday, I want a 4 to 6
pack. It's like you almost carry crying.
I know. Around my birthday every year, I'm like, I'm going to get my body right. I'm going to have a 4 or 6 pack.
And then it's restaurant week.
And burger week comes, restaurant week comes. Mm. I was on a bachelorette trip. Mm. Then my birthday, when my birthday comes, it's just all, we have pre-service and we feed everybody lunch. Mm. Like, yeah. My discipline is kind of off.
Yeah, you're done. You're done.
Yeah, well.
Well, that's.
Maybe I can have a beach body in December. Well. No, I can't because Thanksgiving, after Halloween.
Yeah, it's over.
That's when the eating goes downhill.
That's it. That's it. That's when I start making buttermilk pies.
Yeah.
And they are to die for, literally. Okay, that's enough negativity. Let's hear your coffee break.
Okay, so for today's coffee break, guys, I want to say just because it takes time doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Now, Kim, has that ever happened in your life where, you know, you were anticipating something and it just seems like it was not going to happen? It was going to take forever and ever. Mm-hmm. And then, bam, just when you weren't thinking of it,
absolutely,
it happened.
Absolutely. And that's a lesson just to keep, you know, pushing forward. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When you begin to get in a journey or you're going through a storm, you cannot see the end. All you see is the clouds that are before you.
Yeah.
But if you change your perspective, the sun is shining.
Yeah.
You're just in a moment. So, yeah, if it's just because it's taking long doesn't mean you're not going to get it. You're moving through a storm.
Right.
You know, that's a word for those who lose hope and look at their circumstances and say that, you know, my life is over because of this scenario at this moment in my life. It's just a bump.
Right.
You gotta keep going. Yeah.
You know what? And I take that to, like, you know, you can look back at your past and be like, that's why I didn't get that position because there was something greater in my future.
That's right. And you thought that what you was going through was going to take you out.
Yep.
And then you don't even have the understanding of when you look back at something that you survived or you got through, how impactful, how important that is to your growth. And so, yeah, just because it's taking a little while
doesn't mean it's not
going
to happen.
Keep going. Okay. Keep going.
Don't give up.
I used to do that in school, you know. Final week was it was rough, but I went in with the attitude, it does not matter what happens today, it's over. Good or bad, hey, today is over, so I'm gonna give it all I got and we're gonna live with the circumstances.
And you know what, sometimes that thing, that result that you're looking for might not be the result, the expected result,
right?
And that's one of the things that, you know, when I look at, you know, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I perceived how it should happen. But when it did happen, it didn't happen like I perceived it.
That's right.
It happened even better.
Even better.
Okay.
And you were more prepared for it.
Exactly.
You got to go through some things to be prepared to stand in some places.
Yeah.
And we don't ever want to go through, but going through gives you understanding. It gives you longevity.
Right.
It gives you experience.
But in that wait and in that preparation, there's growth.
That's it.
Because that's the only way you can be able to handle.
Because you're not standing still.
Okay.
You're going through.
Come on. We're going to church.
Yeah, there you go. You do it. You're doing it.
Okay.
What are we talking about today? What's on the show?
Okay.
Today?
So today we have Miss Caitlin May. Hey, Caitlin.
Welcome to the show, Caitlin. Let me cut your mic on so we can hear you.
Caitlin, in our Head Start program, is one of our mental health and disability specialists.
Okay.
And I think her story is super sweet because she came as an intern.
Oh.
This is true.
Yeah. So let's just talk about your journey from, you know, getting hired, starting at when you came to volunteer. What were you expecting? And then, you know, how did you get the confidence or courage to say, hey, I think I could do this. Why not apply?
You know, I think I came in with no expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the best thing I could have done. Mm. Because then everything was a new opportunity. So I came in and I got to work with Miss Keisha, mm-hmm. who I still love to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And Keisha and her team kind of just wrapped around me and supported me. Anything I wanted to learn, they showed me. And stuff I didn't even know I wanted to learn,
right.
they showed me.
Mm-hmm.
And Keisha just supported me and encouraged me. And when it was time to graduate, she's like, are you sure you don't want to stick around? And I was like, you know what? This might be where I'm supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
So I ended up applying and the right position happened. And now I'm here.
Yay.
How long have you been with Community Action?
A little over 2 years.
Over 2 years.
Yeah.
All right.
So kind of that COVID introduction.
Go! That one.
She doesn't know us before COVID. That could be good or bad. I think it's good, though.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
it's good. COVID was challenging for everybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There was a lot of things absolutely. Birthed through COVID. So, your position is a mental health and disability specialist. Tell us what that means, because it's a lot of words.
It is a lot of words. So in my role, I work with all of our kiddos in early Head Start and Head Start, so starting age birth to five, mm-hmm. And I help to identify any of the kiddos that we serve in our program that may need some additional help. Mm. That might mean that they need services like play therapy, or they may need services to help with their development.
Mm-hmm.
So I help to identify those kids, work with our staff and with their families to help them find the services that are going to help them get up to par by the time they're ready for kindergarten.
So I'm sure that those are some difficult conversations that you have to have with parents, because in just seeing your title, mental health and disability specialist, talk about just some of the misconceptions about your title, or even those words, even those phrases, mental health and disabilities.
Absolutely. I think any of those words, together or separate, is scary,
yeah.
especially for parents, because a lot of parents internalize that as, I did something wrong.
Uh-huh.
Something's wrong with my child, when that couldn't be further from the truth. Some of our kiddos that have disabilities have special abilities because of their disability.
I'd like that.
And then our kiddos that struggle with mental health, again, another scary term for when you're a kid or you're an adult. A lot
mm-hmm.
of people don't want to admit that they need some help. But the reality of the situation is that we all need help, regardless of our age.
Help.
And some of our kiddos come from backgrounds where they've seen some things, they've heard some things, they've been through some things.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can provide them with support early on,
right.
all we're doing is helping them combat those challenges now so that they don't come up as they're adults.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, you know, when it comes to when I think of mental health,
mm-hmm.
like you said, we all battle with sometimes I don't know the right word, like emotional health.
Mm-hmm.
I think of emotional health
mm-hmm.
when I think of mental health
mm-hmm.
because that could mean a diagnosed or severe disability, but
mm-hmm.
it also doesn't necessarily mean that.
Absolutely not. I think in a lot of our kids, it presents in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So for some of our kids, it's a behavior. And a behavior can mean anything. A behavior could be that they're struggling with the transition into the classroom in the
yeah.
morning. A behavior could be that they are struggling to share with their peers. We see a lot of that pop up with our kiddos, and it presents very differently in children.
Gotcha.
But I think that the support that we provide in the Head Start classroom, just
mm-hmm.
in general, helps to combat a lot of that. And then we have additional services that we're now able to offer them to be able to help even more.
Yeah. So one thing you said, for example, the behavioral challenges
mm-hmm.
in children.
Mm-hmm.
However, adults have behavioral challenges as well.
That they do.
And would you say that's along the same lines of, you know, say if someone doesn't necessarily mean to be hurtful,
mm-hmm.
but says something that's challenging to you
mm-hmm.
and an adult pops off,
mm-hmm.
that would be the same kind of behavioral challenge, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think in a lot of our kids, we expect them to act a certain way or be capable of certain things.
Yeah.
But the reality is at that age that a lot of times we have unrealistic expectations that a three-year-old is going to sit at circle time for 20 minutes and be very quiet and content. And that's not the reality. So I think a lot of times when we can kind of shift our perspective, that can help as well.
Good deal.
I think one of the questions I might have after this break is, have you noticed a change in children before COVID and after COVID? That's a question we're going to save for after the break. You are listening to Look Who's Talking.
This past year has highlighted the strength of Community Action Council. Every day, our staff works together to help families recover from this crisis. We're educating children at home and in person, helping parents who lost their jobs, and helping households avoid eviction. Our work at Community Action Council has never been more important than it is right now. So why not join us? We have employment opportunities requiring a range of skills from entry level to advanced. Apply online at commaction.com.
Community Action Council's Head Start programs are now enrolling for the 24-25 school year in 15 counties, including Lexington. Head Start offers high-quality early childhood education for qualifying families with children between the ages of 6 weeks and 5 years old. Spaces are limited and filling up quickly, so to help ensure your child receives the Head Start advantage this year, start your application today by calling 859-233-4600 or go online at comaction.org. That's commaction.org.
Talking. So we're here with Caitlin May, who is a disabilities and mental health specialist with Community Action Council in our Head Start program. So Caitlin, when I can tell a difference with, you know, our classrooms and the supports needed before COVID. So before COVID, there were quite a bit of our Head Start classrooms that needed more support with guiding behaviors. But after COVID, we've seen more early Head Start. Can you tell us, you know, why the change?
You know, I think that's a great question. I think a lot of people are asking, why are we seeing such a spike in behaviors? Even the school districts are seeing it. I think that a lot of it is rooted in the fact that, you know, we get stir crazy when we're at home. I think everybody during COVID got a little stir crazy. Mm-hmm. I think that happened with a lot of our little ones too. They had less exposure to the real world, to other kids, to interacting with others. And I think that played a vital role in their preparation for school. And a lot of these kids didn't get that. So I think that they lack those skills. And that's why we're here, is to teach them those skills. And that can be hard with a 2 and 3 year old.
Right, right. So with some of the behavior, I would say COVID can equal trauma.
Mm-hmm. Just because, say it.
Just because some of the things that we all were used to, we couldn't do, we couldn't interact. It was trauma for me, at least.
Yeah.
So can you talk about how different traumas can affect someone's emotional health, and not looking at trauma as just abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Trauma could be a change in the family dynamic.
Absolutely. You know? Any change that happens to a young child outside of their norm is going to be hard for them to adapt to.
Mm-hmm.
I think with some of our kiddos, when they experience a loss in the family, whether that be that family has chosen to leave the family or that there was a death in the family, that's really hard for our little ones to understand and comprehend. And you have to remember that if they're feeling that loss, the adults in their life are also feeling that loss.
Right.
So feeling some of that coming from not only their own emotions, but from their family's emotions can present in the classroom in terms of how they attach to adults. habits, how they play with their peers. So maybe that's that kiddo that's clinging onto your leg and will not let go for dear life because they're looking for someone to have that attachment to, because that person that left their life may have been the person that they were closest to.
Right.
And that can go the opposite direction too. There could be those kiddos that are very resistant to attachment because they have that fear of, if I get too close to you, you're going to leave me, just like daddy did or mommy did or my uncle did. So I think that a lot of times when we have that understanding of what they've been through, it's not an excuse, but it gives us an understanding and we can kind of move forward from that and help them process that.
Yeah. What advice would you give a parent who their family dynamic has changed? You know, whether it's a family member who is gone or say a family where dad or mom's schedule changed to where they might work midnights and not see the family. Like, what would you tell someone or a parent or guardian going through a change like that, how they could, one, notice if something is different with the child, but also, two, what support or how could they support that child?
Absolutely. So I think a lot of times with kids, we think when something happens, we can kind of just shift and keep moving and hope they don't notice.
Yeah.
But kids are a little more observant than we give them enough credit for. So I think that the best thing that we can do is try to prepare them for that. So if we know a big change is coming or that a big change has happened, talk to them about that. Give them some type of warning of, you know, mommy's not going to pick you up today. It's going to be grandma. A lot of times in the classrooms, we use something called a visual support. So what that looks like is creating a schedule for the kiddos with what time they're having each of their activities and a picture of what that's going to look like. And for some of our kiddos, it's individual. And we kind of walk them through what their day is going to look like piece by piece. And for some of our families going through those big transitions where they're experiencing some challenges with their kiddos, we recommend that they do that too, so that the kiddo has some indication of what's coming next and some ability of predictability.
Gotcha. You said something really good. I grew up where kids didn't get in grown folk business. So business was going on, but I may not know the details.
Yeah.
But like you said, I feel the impact. I feel the impact of the stress that's stressing out mom. I'm feeling that.
Absolutely.
And to deal with that. So I would think one way too would be for the parent to get some help.
Absolutely.
You know?
And for some of our Head Start kiddos, for those of you who don't know that are watching, we actually offer free mental health services to our families through Champion. And that is an amazing service that I know a lot of our families aren't aware of. And we do everything we can to try to make sure they're aware of it, because that is amazing. A lot of our parents, you know, there's some pride that comes along with getting some mental health services. But as someone who has been through mental health therapy myself, I know that the impact is amazing. And it can help you work on your own challenges, but then also help be better for your kids.
I think one of the greatest things about seeking that mental health or emotional support or trying to grow that part of you is you learn ways of how to cope. First, you have to be aware, oh, this is why I react this way. Oh, this reaction isn't good. So what's next? And learning how to cope or learning how to de-escalate yourself is one of like the most important tools that I've learned myself. So what would you tell either parents in learning how to de-escalate? Say if their child is, you know, if a child has behavior problems at school, they might have behavior problems at home. How can a parent de-escalate themselves to address a child in a way where the child doesn't see them angry or, you know.
I think the important thing with that is to remember that we're always going to be the one to model that for our kids, whether it's in a teaching role or as a parent or guardian. So one of the things that I had an opportunity to attend a conference last week in Denver, it was a conscious discipline conference, which is our social emotional tool that we use here at Head Start. And one of the things that they talked about in that conference really stuck with me. It said that you cannot expect a child to operate in a higher state of being than the one that you are currently operating in. So if you are highly emotional, if you are in fight or flight, that child cannot respond to you in a high state of operating to where, yes, mommy, I will do that, mommy. I'm going to put my shoes away exactly how you told me to. So I think it's important to remember that we have to escalate our or de-escalate ourselves before we can expect that child to. And there's no shame in saying, mommy needs to take a minute to breathe. I'm going to come back to you in 5 minutes. There's no shame in that.
Right.
There's no shame in saying, I need a few minutes to gather my thoughts before I can come to a resolution with you. Right. So I think gaining that composure before addressing your child is a key component to modeling that for them.
And I think another thing is, I don't know where I heard this, but the reaction of a child is based on something other than what you're looking at. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the kid is acting out and is acting out because the car is not working the way he wants, but it don't have nothing to do with the car. You got to mm-hmm. find out what's the source.
The
you know
cause,
what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And that helps me deal with, you know, family. That helps me deal with other mm-hmm. folks when they're acting out or lashing out. I'm like, this, okay, yeah, the car won't start, but what's the real problem?
Right, mm-hmm. absolutely.
It just encourages us to be better investigators, to get to some root causes. Now, you know, I know you don't like me saying this, but some kids are just bad. Some kids are just bad.
Children are not bad, Cam.
They are not. All behavior is mode of communication.
Hit the wrong one. That was supposed to be my what? I'm on the wrong one.
So what tools or resources would you recommend for parents to, you know, get them connected with, get them, you know, a little bit more knowledgeable about, you know, how to identify if your child needs additional assistance?
Absolutely. So at the beginning of the school year, within those first 45 days, our teachers in our classrooms are conducting screenings on your kiddos. Mm-hmm. Some of that is related to developmental things. Are they walking when they're supposed to? Are they talking the way that they're supposed to? But then we also do some social emotional screenings. How do they interact with their peers? How do they, are they aware of safety? Mm-hmm. All of those types of questions. So partnering with the teacher in the classroom to say, here are some of my concerns, and partnering with the teacher to hear what their concerns are, mm-hmm. we can kind of identify where those struggle points are and work together as a team to be able to combat those. Whether that means that we're seeking out some additional outside help yeah. from a different agency, or whether we're just partnering to try to game plan. How are we going to work on this together?
Mm-hmm. Do you ever, within your positions, we know that parents or guardians, their first line of communication is the teacher. Mm-hmm. Are there any times where you come in and do trainings or communicate with the parents?
Absolutely. So some of that comes from me working directly with the teachers, and they let me know, hey, I have a family who may need some additional support, and I'm happy to jump in when that's the case. Mm-hmm. But we also offer different family engagement nights that I have the opportunity to talk at, engage with the families. Mm-hmm. And we have a parenting credential class where we walk through some of these situations of how do we navigate some of these behaviors that are happening at home? How can I, as a parent, de-escalate myself to better help my child? And we offer that to families. Mm-hmm. Free of charge.
Do you have a particular, we don't have to go into names, but a particular family that impacted you, that you dealt with and had great results?
Absolutely, I do. There was a family that I was working with that we actually had two of their kiddos. And at the beginning, the family was a little resistant to mm-hmm. what we were seeing in the classroom and some of the delays that we were seeing. And, you know, I think first impressions are everything. Mm-hmm. So if you come in hardcore, something's wrong with your child, you need to fix this, which we don't. Mm-hmm. But if you did, that parent is going to be very standoffish right. with you. So right. having to meet them where they're at and saying, I understand you're not in a place to talk about this right now. I'm going to give you some information to look over. And then we're going to kind of circle back to this in a month. Okay. So we did that with one of our families that we had, and we kind of worked with her to get to a place where she was comfortable to start having those conversations. And once she realized that I wasn't here to force her in a direction, I was here to support her in making a decision, I think that that really is what shifted our relationship. And mm-hmm. to this day, she knows me by name. She'll email me, she'll call me. I'm here to support her in getting her kids services. And both of them ended up getting services, and now their development has flourished.
Are they perfect. Are they still in the program, or have they already gone on to greater?
They are getting ready to transition away from us. I'm so sad. I love them, but I know that they're moving on to bigger and better things, and I know that we made an impact with them being in our program.
Mm-hmm. Well, Caitlin, I'm so glad that you were here on the show today. Contact information and resources. I'm going to give them the 233. That's our favorite number, 859-233-4600. If you're interested in getting in the Head Start program. Uh-huh. And these services that Caitlin provides are free
yeah.
with every child.
And whether you want to get connected with the program or you want to talk to Caitlin personally,
absolutely,
about, you know, just identifying some things emotionally and what are additional resources you can get, again, you can contact us at 859-233-4600.
Thank you for being on the show, Caitlin. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
All right. You have been listening to Look Who's Talking. Tell a friend, share the show. See you when we see you.